السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Tonight we commemorate the anniversary of the martyrdom of the fourth Imam and fourth successor to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. That Imam is al-Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wa salam. An Imam who witnessed the tragedy of murdering his father, not just his father, his uncles too, his nephews, his brothers, almost 17 of them were murdered on the day of Ashura, and the Imam was there. Some narrations state that he too participated in defending his camp and he was wounded. Others say that he was too sick to move and to carry the sword and defend his camp, so he could not even leave the camp, leave the tent. All these tragedies took place right before his eyes. And he's the only male survivor. This was divinely programmed and planned and designed so he could survive and would lead the nation, would continue the line of imama and khilafa and succession to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this line does not disconnect, does not come to an end, does not stop. The khilafa, succession to the Prophet, does not stop. It has to continue to the last day, to the last day of this life. The Imams, they continue. They succeed one another to carry the torch and the banner and to lead the universe. God would not let his nation without caretakers. Just like any one of you, a responsible father would not leave his family without taking care of them, either himself or he would assign this task to someone. God has assigned this task to the prophets and the imams. So the line of imama does not stop. It has to continue. Imagine Bani Umayyah, those enemies, those brutal enemies, on that day, the day of Ashura, they killed a baby who's 6 months old. They killed another one who's 11 years old. This is the son of Imam Hassan. Imam Hassan had four children on the day of Ashura. Three of them were killed. The fourth one was injured, and his uncles, they came and they took him from the battlefield and they cured him and they took him back to Medina. He didn't die. But one of the children of Imam Hassan was the last to die. Even after that baby, baby Abdullah, 6 months old, he was not the very last. between him and his dad, between the death of that baby who's 6 months old and the death of Imam Hussein, there was another one who was 11 years old. That is the son of Imam Hassan. When he saw his uncle Hussein fallen from the horse and bleeding, he rushed from the tent. His mother tried to grab him, she could not. Imam Hussein saw him coming, running towards him. He said, "Ukhtah Zainab, ihbisi." My sister Zainab, hold him back. Don't let him come to the battlefield. She tried to grab him, she ran after him. He said, "No, I would not leave my uncle bleeding. I have to go." He insisted on going. When he reached Imam Hussein, by the time he reached, someone came carrying the sword to strike at the Imam. This 11 years old boy, spontaneously he stretched his arm to prevent the sword from reaching Imam Hussein. So the sword hit his arm and severed his arm. Imam Hussein grabbed him. He said, "Bunayya, my little son, my little baby, do not worry. Soon you're going to meet your father, Al-Hasan alayhi salam, and your grandfather, Rasulullah." While Imam Hussein was comforting him, speaking to him, an arrow came to his chest, pierced his chest, and he killed this 11-year-old boy. So the enemies, they killed the young ones as well as the old ones. But the plan of God was to save Imam Zainul Abidin, who was 25 years old, because he has to lead after his father Hussein. He has to lead and continue the line of Imama and universal leadership. Imam Zainul Abidin went back to Medina after this tragedy. They took them to Kufa, from Kufa to Damascus, from Damascus back to Karbala on the day of Arba'een, and eventually they arrived in the month of Rabi' al-Awwal, the caravan of Imam Hussein, eventually the caravan of his family arrived in the city, back in the city of Medina. And Imam Zain al-Abidin realized something important, that this ummah, this community, this nation, who murdered his father. His father was the righteous leader, noble leader, who dedicated his life to protect the faith and the community. This community needs to be educated. This community is lost. And our imams, despite all these tragedies against them, They never hold a grudge in their hearts against the people. They never ever. They forgive. Our imams, they forgive. Just like their grandfather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet was tortured, persecuted, they threw rocks, huge rocks, at him. He would say, "Allahumma ighfir liqawmi fa'innahum la ya'lamun." Or, "My merciful Lord, forgive this community, my community. They do not know. They don't know. I don't hold a grudge against them. I don't want you to destroy them." Many people came to him. They said, "Ya Rasulullah, why don't you invoke upon your Lord to destroy this community, and your Lord will listen to you? He would listen to you." He said, No, I'm not here as a source of curse and punishment. I'm here as a source of forgiveness and mercy. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. This is the heart that the Prophet carried. The heart filled with love, with compassion, with forgiveness. Same thing, his family, his children, his household. They are source of guidance, inspiration, and love and forgiveness. They are not source of revenge. They are not there to revenge and to kill and to murder and to hit back. Imam Zain al-Abidin decided that I have now, after the tragedy of Ashura, after the murder of my father and my family, I have to educate people. I have to save them. Saving people. وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. We are all endowed with this responsibility. All, not just our imams. Our imams are teachers and leaders, inspirations. We are students. We are endowed with this responsibility of saving others, not destroying them, saving them. Even if people do not like us, even those who hate us, we still have to save. Because this is the most important fundamental in our faith. وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Whoever saves a life, single life, as if he or she have saved the entire humanity. Always remember this. Sometimes anger overtakes us. Sometimes frustration overtakes us. Sometimes your soul tells you, hit back, destroy, do the same, take revenge. Say to your soul, no, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to the Lord who says you have to save. Imam Hussein, if you read the history of Ashura, you know on that day how much he cried? Not for himself. Imam Hussein, he knows he has to meet his Lord soon. He cried for the army that came all the way from Sham, from Kufa, to kill him. He was crying for his enemy. Never we have seen in the history of mankind a military commander at the time of combat crying for his enemies, except on the day of Ashura. Because Imam Hussein is the son of Fatima, and Yazid is the son of Hind. And each mother, each one of those mothers, both are mothers. Fatima, she induced her son with love, with forgiveness, with compassion, with mercy. But Hind, she inspired her son with a grudge and hate. Yazid saw his mother in the battlefield on the day of Uhud. His mother, Hind, she came to the body of Hamza, Sayyid al-Shuhada, and she cuts him into pieces. Hind. Yazid saw this right before his eyes. It was a lesson for him. This is why he cuts the body of Imam Hussein into pieces. Because his mother was an example for him. While Imam Hussein sees his mother Fatima, she stands in the middle of the night in adoration and prayers, and she hears her whispering, mentioning the names of people, the neighbors, one by one. When she finishes her prayers, he says, "Mother, you mentioned all the neighborhood, you prayed for them, but you didn't mention your own name." She said, "My son, my father, Rasulullah, taught me, Al-Jaru Qabla Ad-Dar. I have to begin with my neighbor before mentioning myself." This is Fatima. And that is Hind. And this is Hussein, the son of Fatima. And that is Yazid, the son of Hind. And this struggle is continuing between truth, between light, between mercy on the one hand, and falsehood and darkness and hate on the other hand. We see this situation every day. You see it in your family, in your neighborhood, in your society, in your community. You see it at work, you see it at school, you see it in the hospital, you see it at airports, you see it in the marketplace. There is struggle, but you have to be on the side of the truth and mercy always. Always teach yourself every single day. Tell yourself, I am an ambassador of love and mercy and forgiveness. I am not going to keep a grudge in my heart against anyone. Even if they offend me, I'm not going to retaliate. This is a lesson we learn from our imams. Imam Zain al-Abidin came to a society that murdered his father, but he had no grudge against them. He said, I have to teach, I have to guide, I have to help. At that time, there was a disease spreading. This disease is more dangerous than cholera. This disease is more dangerous than all epidemics. This disease was called Hubbu Dunya. The attachment and the obsession with this lower life. This is a very dangerous disease. Thus, the hadith says, آخِرُ مَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْ قَلْبِ الْمُؤْمِنِ حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا. The last thing that exits the heart of an observant and a believer is حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا. Wow. Even believers, they are crazy about dunya. They are attached to the dunya. Even believers, even worshippers, even those who speak to God, still they have attachment. And if we give in to this attachment, we cannot function. Believe me. We cannot produce. We cannot guide. Neither we can save. God created this dunya, this life for us. For us to utilize. God says, فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ. Travel in this land, enjoy, eat from his sustenance. Don't starve, don't deprive yourself from the beauty of this life. But be thoughtful. Don't eat yourself, just yourself. Think about others. When these wildfires broke out 5 days ago, I said to many people in the community, I said, let us open our homes and our hearts for those who lost their homes. Though those who lost their homes, they are not poor. It's an affluent communities here in Southern California, Anaheim Hills and other areas. They are not poor. They can afford going to a hotel. But when you open your hearts and your home, it is a lesson. It is meaningful. It says, it sends a powerful message. It's a powerful declaration and a statement that I share this with you. I share the pain with you and the suffering with you. I stand by you. Standing by others is important, my friends. Sometimes a person can afford getting food, getting shelter, getting clothing, another car, another house. But when you open your heart and your home to them, you say, I stand by you. I understand what you go through. This is very meaningful. This is the essence of life, is to stand with others, is to share with them the pain and the suffering. Is to try to help, is not to neglect others, to be with them. This is the message of Islam. To feel sorry for these disasters, even though you survive, nothing happened to you, to your business, to your house, to your family. But when you see others are suffering, you cry. 2 days ago, someone called me while I was driving. So I had to wear the... No, Bluetooth.
Air plugs.
Headphones. I said to him, wait. He said, Sayyid, when I see what is happening in Yemen for the children and women and the poor, and I hear about the cholera spreading there, affected about 1 million. The recent number says 1 million people in Yemen. 1 million is a huge, huge number. This man says, he's from Afghanistan. He says, Sayyid, I can't sleep the night. He's an old man. He says, I can't sleep the night. This is an act of faith. Solidarity and sympathy is an act of faith. Maybe you can't go there and help, but when you have this feeling inside you, it means you are correct. You are a human being. You are authentic. You are genuine. You are a believer in God. Because God says, jihad, struggle, struggle through your hand. If you can't, your tongue, your speech. If you can't, your money. If not, your heart. وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. And that is the weakest degree of faith, is at least to reject tyranny in your heart. Is to feel the sympathy and empathy with others. This is an act of faith. You can't go indifferent. You can't see people are suffering, whether in Yemen or elsewhere, anywhere. Any type of suffering, man-made or natural disaster, and you are indifferent, then there is something wrong with you. You have to go and examine yourself, examine your principles, examine your faith. You must feel something. You must try to do something. This is the message of Ahlul Bayt. Imam Zain al-Abidin could have said, after he went back to his home in Medina, that this nation who murdered my father, I would not speak to them anymore. I would not have sympathy with them anymore. I would quit my job and my work and I would sit at home because I don't want to see those people who murdered my family. He could have said that. But he did exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. Intellectually, he was teaching. He was guiding. At that time, slavery was rampant. It was very common. In every house, sometimes 2, 3, 4, 5 male and female slaves. In every family, in every home, almost every home, those who could afford. It was very normal at that time. Imam said, I have an idea. We have to free those people. They are a human being. They don't deserve to be slaves. So with his own money, he would go and purchase them, bring them into his custody, his home, under his protection. He would teach them and he would set them free. Yesterday, they were slaves. They were serving, doing physical work. Today, after he taught them and he trained them, they are teachers and educators. Not only they gained their physical freedom, they gained internal freedom too. Because ignorance is a slavery too. When you don't know, this is another type of slavery. Another type of bondage. Ignorance. So Imam will hit two birds with one stone. Number one, he will teach them. They are no longer ignorant. They learn. So he sets them free from inside, internally. Number two, he will set them free physically. اذهب فأنت حر لوجه الله. Go. Gain your freedom. You have no master other than God. No person can own you again, can control you again. You are the servant of God. And they will go and teach. This was his campaign of spreading knowledge and ma'rifa and education by bringing those slaves, teaching them, training them. Sometimes someone teaches only ilm, science, but not tarbiyah. Science by itself does not work. Many of those criminals today, they are scientists too. But they don't have tarbiyah. Tarbiyah is something else. Tarbiyah is a moral and a spiritual education and a training. Spiritual rehabilitation, this is tarbiyah. When someone has tarbiyah, then you give him wealth, he knows how to handle it. You give him science and technology, he knows how to handle it. You give him weapon, he knows how to handle it. But if that person does not have tarbiyah, spiritual control, then you cannot give him anything. You can't give him anything. Because anything you give him, he will turn that into a weapon to kill, to destroy. Imam Zainul Abidin, when those slaves, they stay with him at home, he would eat with them. He would sit at the floor. They share the food. One type of food, not two types. One for the masters and the owners, another one, the leftover, for others. No. He will eat from the same food. Equality, real equality. He learned that from his father Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein, when he was in Medina and there was a shelter inside Masjid al-Nabi. You know, inside, we don't do these things nowadays. If someone wants to open a shelter in the mosque, people are going to attack him. People are going to say he's insane. He brought all the homeless and the poor inside the mosque. But this is what the Prophet did. The Prophet, his mosque, he turned part of it, Suffa, into a shelter. Inside the mosque, not outside. On the premise, inside, Suffa, still stands there. If you go there, Suffa. This is a shelter home, shelter camp for those who did not have homes. The Prophet says, your home is my mosque, my headquarters, my office. So Imam Hussein, when he used to pass by them, every time he goes inside the masjid, he sees them. So they say to him, Yabna Rasulillah, halumma ila al-ghada. Food is ready. He would never hesitate. He would not say, no, my wife has cooked. I am on a special diet. You know, I don't eat this food. He will join them immediately. He will join. He will sit with them. And then he says, today you invited me. Tomorrow you are my guest. All of you come to my house. Today you hosted me, tomorrow I host you. This is equality. We forgot these principles. We are Muslims just by name, not by character. The day we become Muslims by character, we pay attention to the forgotten, the needy, we share with them, genuine share, we become powerful, progressive nation. So Imam Zain al-Abidin first, he will save those from slavery. He would set them free. They will be teachers. He will send them outside Medina to different provinces. He will sponsor them. He tell them, go teach, go to this tribe, to this area, to this village. Teach them the akhlaq, the manners of Islam. The other thing he used to do in Medina, because the government was corrupt at that time, was the government of Bani Umayyah. After Yazid, many tyrants succeeded him. One of them by the name of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. Mass murderer. His children, Hisham ibn Abdul Malik, Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, Walid ibn Abdul Malik. Al Marwan. Those are called Al Marwan. We have Alu Bani Umayya, Alu Ziyad, wa Alu Marwan. Those are Alu Marwan. Sulaiman ibn Amr. Sulaiman was the one who murdered Imam Zain al-Abidin. He gave him the poison. Sulaiman. So those tyrants, the first thing the tyrant does is to create a gap between him and the community. They were thirsty for power, not thirsty for justice. There is a difference between someone like Imam Ali alayhi salam, who doesn't sleep, who doesn't eat, he always on the run, he exhausts himself, because he wants to uphold justice. Because Imam Ali says, it's not satisfying for me to be called Amir al-Mu'mineen, commander of faithfuls, while I have hungry people in my community. I can't go on and sleep. Don't tell me go sleep. I can't. I have to solve this problem. Either I'm not the governor, I quit, or if I'm in charge, then I have to give an answer to my Lord. I cannot neglect people. Because for him, justice was important. For his adversaries, Bani Umayya, justice was not a question. They were not even just with their family members, let alone others. They were thirsty for power and dominance, hukuma. This was their goal. And Allah says, we reserve that life, that life is reserved for those who do not think of governance and dominance here. تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That life has been reserved, we make it, we create it, for those who are not about arrogance and dominance and control. They don't think of that. They think of helping and serving and saving. لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. Bani Umayya, they sought uluwan, dominance, fasad, corruption. That is the difference between the government of Imam Ali and the government of Muawiyah and the children of Muawiyah. That is the difference. So Imam Zain al-Abidin, he goes in the middle of the night. This was his habit and his schedule every single night. He carries the bag on his shoulder. He fills this bag with food, the typical food of that day. And he goes and he knocks at the doors. And people know that there is someone coming at this time. Why he does that during the night when it is dark, not during the day? You know why? Not because he has full of energy during the night. He has to go to sleep. He has to go to bed. But to preserve and protect the dignity of the recipients. So people do not see who's getting what. To protect their dignity. To protect their honor. And this is a principle that embedded in the Quran. Quran says, if you want to help, help with the privacy. Protect the privacy of others. He would cover his face also, so they don't see him. He will give without even seeing the face of the recipient. Neither the recipient knows who is giving him. The day Imam died, the poor community of Medina, they realized that man who has been coming for so many years is Ali ibn al-Husayn Zain al-Abidin. This is how they realized, when he's absent. They realized that man, then Imam Zain al-Abidin, and he never told us I am the son of Imam Hussein, I am the son of the Prophet, I am doing you a favor, I am helping you. No. He did it for the sake of God. Again, he learned this from his father, Hussein. When his father, Hussein, is a baby, and you know when babies, they get hungry, they love food. They can't wait. Maybe adult nowadays, they are supposed to wait. The children, they cannot wait. And then when someone knocks at the door, they take all the food, they give it to those needy. 3 days. 3 days, one after the other. Imam Hussein, he transferred this nobility and this sacrifice to his family, to his children. And I always say here, I say, my friends, when you do something good, it's not enough that you only do it. You have to share with your family. You have to teach and transfer this goodness to your children. Teach these principles to your children. If you give charity, teach your children to give charity with you. If you share your food, your drink, your shelter, teach your family. Don't do it yourself. Let them continue this path of goodness. Let them continue this heritage. This is a heritage. It has to be cherished in your family. So when his dad, Hussein, when he was 5, he gives the food with the family, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. Definitely Imam Zain al-Abidin is going to do the same. And Imam Muhammad al-Baqir will do the same. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, all the Imams. The caravan was taken to the palace of Yazid. And Imam Zain al-Abidin was there. He's the only male survivor who entered the courtyard of Yazid. Yazid was boasting, sitting there, and with full of arrogance, he turned to the head of Imam Hussein. He was saying, Yawmun biyawmi Badr. Today, I fulfilled my mission. I fulfilled my mission today. After so many decades, Hussein, your dad, in the Battle of Badr, he killed my ancestors. Today, I murdered his children. I murdered you, Hussein. And then after that, he asked one of those who work for the Sultan. Those who are eloquent, they are good speakers, but their conscience is dead. It's dead. They sold themselves to the tyrant. Not for God. They don't work for God. They work for the tyrant. He said to him, go to the pulpit and praise me and praise my dad, Muawiyah. So this khatib went to the pulpit, and the historians, they say, وَأَسْرَفَ فِي مَتْحِ مُعَاوِيَةَ وَيَزِيدَ. He did an excessive praise to Muawiyah and Yazid. Here Imam Zain al-Abidin, he said to this khatib, he said to him, أَيُّهَا الْخَاطِبْ لَقَدْ اشْتَرَيْتَ صخط الخالق برضا المخلوق. You have traded the satisfaction of this creature, this tyrant Yazid, with the wrath of God. You wanted to make this satisfy at the expense of God, making God angry with your lies. And he went in maligning and vilifying Amir al-Mu'mineen and Ahlul Bayt. The same khatib, the same speaker. On the one hand, he praises Muawiyah and Yazid. On the other hand, he badmouths Imam Ali alayhi salam and Ahlul Bayt. Imam Zain al-Abidin said, Ya Yazid, ذنلي حتى أصعد هذه الأعواد. Give me permission to speak, to rebattle him, at least. Yazid would say, No, you don't have permission. You don't have permission. So people who were sitting in the courtyard of Yazid, They said, "Yeah, Amir, give him permission. He's a young guy. He's only 25 years old. Are you afraid of him?" He said, "Of course I'm afraid of him. Don't look at his age. He belongs to a family. إِنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتٍ زُقُّ الْعِلْمَ زَقَّ." Don't look at his young age. He belongs, he comes from a family. They have been given knowledge and wisdom and ilm since they were little. But they kept pressing on Yazid to accept, so he gave him permission. He gave him the Imam Zain al-Abidin went into the pulpit. فَحَمَدَ اللَّهَ وَأَثْنَى عَلَيْهِ He praised God, he sanctified God. He said, أيها الناس أيها الناس أعطينا ستا وفضلنا بسبع All people who have gathered here, we have been gifted by God with six characters, the family of the Prophet. And also, we have been given وَفَضَّلْنَا We have been favored by seven personalities. أُعْطِينَا الْعِلْمَ وَالْحِلْمَ وَالسَّمَاحَةَ وَالْفَصَاحَةَ وَالشَّجَاعَةَ وَالْمَحَبَّةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ We have been gifted with these six characters. Number one, we have been given ilm, knowledge. Hilm, forbearance. Forbearance is more than patience. Forbearance. وَالْحِلْم وَالسَّمَاحَةَ سَمَاحَةَ tolerance وَالْفَصَاحَةَ eloquence وَالشَّجَاعَةَ bravery وَالْمَحَبَّةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ God has embedded the hearts of the believers with our love. So the believers, they love us. Anyone who believes in God, has genuine belief in God, would love the Prophet and his family. وَفَضِّلْنَا We have been favored and preferred بِأَنَّ مِنَّا النَّبِيَّ الْمُخْتَارِ The Prophet of this nation is from us. وَمِنَّا الصِّدِّيقِ Siddiq is the title of Amir al-Mu'mineen. وَمِنَّا الطَّيَّارِ الطَّيَّارِ جَعْفَر الطَّيَّارِ The brother of Imam Ali alayhi salam. وَمِنَّا أَسَدُ اللَّهِ وَأَسَدُ رَسُولِهِ أَسَدُ اللَّهِ The Lion of God. Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib. ومنا سيدة نساء العالمين The most noble lady of the universe also from our family ومنا سبطة هذه الأمة The two little the Sayyid the masters of the paradise are Hassan and Hussein from our family وَمِنَّا مَهْدِيُّ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ The savior of this nation also from us. أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ مَنْ عَرَفَنِي فَقَدْ عَرَفَنِي وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْنِي أَنْبَأْتُهُ بِحَسَبِي وَنَسَبِي أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنَا ابْنُ مَكَّةَ وَمِنَا أنا ابن زمزم والصفا أنا ابن من حمل الركن بأطراف الردى أنا ابن خير من طاف وسعى أنا ابن خير من حج ولبى أيها الناس أنا ابن من حمل على البراق في الهوى أنا ابن من أسري به من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى أنا ابن من دنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى أنا ابن من صلى بملائكة السماء مثنى مثنى He was telling them the characteristics and the virtues and the merits of his grandfather the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم Then he said أيها الناس أنا ابن علي المرتضى أنا ابن فاطمة الزهراء أيها الناس أنا ابن خديجة الكبرى Then he wanted to elaborate on that and introduce himself further. Now he speaks about his father Hussein. أيها الناس أنا ابن العطشان حتى مضى أيها الناس أنا ابن المذبوح من القفا I am the son of that Shaheed martyr who died without drinking water. They did not give him water at the time of his death. أيها الناس أنا ابن صريع كربلاء أنا ابن مسلوب العمامة والرداء أنا ابن من بكت عليه ملائكة السماء أيها الناس أنا ابن من رأسه على السنان يهدى. Even now his head is being transferred. My father's head is not in the grave now anymore. They are carrying it from one place into another. أيها الناس أنا ابن من حرمه من العراق إلى الشام تسبى. Do you see this? Those women in this session, they are my family. They have been taken captives. Those are the daughters of the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أنا ابن من حرمه من العراق إلى الشام تسبى. At this point, Yazid, he was embarrassed. He did not know what to do. So he asked the same speaker to go and raise the adhan. It was not the time of the prayers, but he wanted to cut the imam off. So the imam, when he started, the khatib, when he started raising the adhan, Allahu Akbar, then he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Imam Zainul Abideen said, Wallahi shahida biha lahmi wa basari wa dami wa azmi. Every cell in my life testifies that there is no God in this universe except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the muaddin said, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Here Imam Zainul Abideen turned to Yazid. He said, Ya Yazid, Muhammadun hada jaddi am jadduk. Tell me, whose grandfather is Muhammad? Is he your grandfather or mine? If you say he's your grandfather, you lie. If you say he's my grandfather, فَلِمَ قَتَلْتَ أَبِي وَسَبَيْتَ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ, then why did you murder my father Hussein? Why did you take his women and his children captives? أُقَادُ ذَلِيلًا فِي دِمَشْقَ كَأَنَّنِي من الترك عبد غاب عنه نصير وجدي رسول الله في كل محشر وشيخي أمير المؤمنين أمير إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.